Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
This is a potpourri of emotions for me.
Okay.
Is it just because you got your hair cut?
I cut my hair, but I had to get my hair cut. I was looking at myself in the mirror last week. And I knew...
It's unusual for you.
I knew I had to sort of... When you get a phone call off the brother-in-law and he says, right, we're going into Patrick Burke menswear in Ennis. And I was there,
for
okay,
the suits for
the... suits for the funeral for my mother-in-law.
For Nana.
Nana Evelyn. And I will... Oh. I will. I have something written down here I'd like to dedicate.
I hope you'd write a poem, did you?
No, but I'd like to dedicate a little bit of this podcast to the great grannies of Ireland.
Of course.
She was a mighty granny.
And we've discussed her several times on the podcast.
She never said nothing when you came down from the bath on a Saturday in your O'Neill's football shorts.
And I said to her,
bent into them, sitting down to watch a bit of Anton Deck.
No, Katie Taylor was boxing. We opened a bottle of wine. She never looked. I said, Nana, she said, where were you? I said, I just had a lovely bat. And she said, well, isn't that lovely? And I said, Katie Taylor's on pay-per-view and we'll have a little bottle of Santa Rita. And we opened it up and she never had a bad word to say about anyone. And she never had, all I got from her was a softness and a smile and a hug. And she always welcomed me into that house. And some people...
From day one. And when did you first meet her?
I met her when I came off the Aran Islands. I met her when I was 1991. I was living on the Aran Islands. Dipna would come over on the Tranquility and I'd be up with the binoculars. She'd be on
What was the Tranquility?
The Tranquility was the boat from the other side, Liscannor, out
Doolan, from around Doolan.
Yeah, the Tranquility. Oh, so the Rose of Aran used to go from Russellville.
Right.
Which was and the Navena used to go from Galway City.
Yeah, the Rose of Aran was like a tugboat.
And the Queen of Aran.
The Queen of Aran.
Where did she Rose go from? Aran,
they all came from Russellville. But right. The Tranquility and the Happy Hooker.
Oh, yeah.
Where did the Happy Hooker come from?
The Happy Hooker came from all over.
Oh, she'd
come from all over.
She travelled.
She travelled, the Happy Hooker. She was a great one. The Happy Hooker. She serviced...
Was there happy endings on it?
She serviced...
Was there happy endings on it?
You're such an owl, lad. You've started this thing now of you start telling a story and you go off on so many fucking tangents. It's like trying to follow Sean Boylan and Bruce Shields in conversation. It's impossible. You just go, well, I tell you one thing. And this man, and that man, I tell you who's another good man. So tell us about the first time you met Nana.
Nana, I used to go back down to Ennis maybe once a month to Dipna.
And where would you
stay in the house, in the bungalow in Bearfield.
But hang on a second. Would you stay in the same Shomra as Dipna?
Yeah, there was never any problem with that.
Oh.
So we were adults, for God's sake.
She would,
no,
Ireland.
But that's what I'm saying about Nana. She never judged.
She never record you.
She never judged. She always had the homemade chips and the wild salmon from Carrigaholt given by the neighbour next door. And she'd have lovely homemade chips. She'd have wild salmon from Carrigaholt and she'd have a welcome for me. And never had I ever a bad word to say about my Nana. We called her Nana. I called her Nana, even though she wasn't officially my Nana, but
officially.
She was a great mother-in-law. She wasn't well for a while and she had got a great send-off. And that is why I had to get the hair cut.
So hang on, she passed away and then, but there was cousins from all over the world who came back for the funeral.
The Boston crowd arrived in on the Tuesday. The Dorchester, Quincy's, Barry and Colleen and
Aaron.
There is an Aaron.
Of course there is. Don't you
there
met
is
them.
An Aaron. They all arrived in on the Tuesday from Boston on the Aer Lingus flight, and they were shagged for the first day. They had to go and get sleep, and then they went into Ennis to have a load of pints just to get them back into. No, the house was open in Bearfield, and there was a constant flow. I have to give a shout out to Reen and Shane, my boys, who went down on the Friday of the week before to paint Nana's kitchen, because Jeez. Everybody knew what was happening. Everybody knew what was about to happen, and it was all hands on deck.
When your mum passed away, Lucia, was there the same effort into the house? Like, did people paint the kitchen?
No, because we didn't know she was going to die that quick. She sort of died like quicker than we had planned her to die.
So no time to get the house ready.
No, I didn't get the house ready. No, we cleaned up the house the morning of she died,
and
cleared out her china and all that sort of stuff.
But who decided then? I'm curious about is
someone has to make that decision.
So Nan passes, and then someone says, "Geez, we better paint the kitchen."
No, this is the week before. This is on the Friday. My Nana passed.
Before she passed.
They knew what was happening. Okay. Everybody was all hands
on. She was in the home stretch.
She was dead.
Nana Evelyn was on the home stretch. And then they were sort of gearing up and getting ready. Okay. Phone calls were being made, transatlantic. People were geared up. Arrangements were being made. And then one of the arrangements was, Dipna said to the lads, "Will you come down and paint Nana's kitchen? I think it needs a spruce up." So the two boys went down, and I was never so proud of the two lads. They went and got two coats. They went into Ennis. They brought all my bits and pieces from Galway, and they painted away the kitchen.
All your painting bits and pieces?
I was going to say, do you mean
all my
toys?
Rollers, all my trays, all my brushes that are out in the shed? I have them all in a special area. And Shane was good. He got the extra sheets. We have an area for sheets for throwing down. So what happened was, when the other little nephews saw the boys painting, they went and changed all their little clothes and they put on old tracksuits. So at one stage, there was nine of the grandkids all in painting the kitchen for Nana. The kitchen looked great. It was a wash with food. I have never seen so many sandwiches and cakes and apple tarts and plates of salad and plates of roast beef and turkey.
Was there big drinking?
Oh, there was a lot of drink. There was a lot of Coors Light. There was a lot of Budweiser. There was a lot of Jameson.
That's very County Clare.
Yeah, what about whiskey?
There was a lot of whiskey. And there was a lot of pint bottles and small bottles of Guinness.
Oh, yeah.
But Nana, she was brilliant. And right until the end, everyone was sort of gearing up for it, and it happened. But then I got the phone call. We went back up to Galway each night because the house was overflowing. There wasn't a bed to be had, and the neighbours and the next neighbours and two doors down, everyone was being put up. So we went back up to Galway. But then midweek, about a day or two before it happened, I knew I had to get a haircut. And then I got the phone call, Patrick Buck Menswear, we're going in to get the suits, measured up for the suits. So I brought my boys in for to get measured up, and I was very proud.
What colour suit did you go for?
Black suits, Tommy. To see your two young lads putting on a suit, getting ready, and they were brilliant. All the grandkids were great over the last few days.
And did you tell the barber you were going to a funeral? The funeral special, Mickey, please.
Siobhan, the mobile barber,
came
out to the house and cut me on.
And did you tell her where you were heading?
Yeah, I told her there was a funeral.
All right, and so she gave you a sensible haircut.
She cut away, and away we went to Ennis.
Because you said to her, I need a morning haircut.
Yeah, I just need to take a...
That's what it looks like. I just saw you this morning. I said, that's a... He's a sad head of hair. Ah, that's pure... Ah, Jesus, yeah.
She took off...
Pure
a good,
death.
She took off a good inch and a half. And listen, in the church, on the removal, we waked her in the house on the Wednesday night, and then the next day we went up... The next evening we went to the church.
Now, hang on.
And
Before you gallop on, the wake in the house.
Yeah.
So she laid it in the front room.
Yes.
And chairs all around the edges?
No, just in sort of like in the front room. There was a couple of chairs. There was a couch and some armchairs. People could go in and have a drink in there and relax in there. There wasn't a whole a walk around in it. Now, what I did see was I noticed Reen especially and Shane when they first saw the open coffin and when they first saw Nana, they got a bit of a shock because I remember when I was young lad and even into my 20s and 30s and early 40s, I wouldn't go in. I always kept my eyes away from the coffin. I would go in and I would say, "Sorry for your troubles. sorry for your trouble. So I'd hug the person.
And you wouldn't look at the corpse.
I would hate that. I would not deliberately look. I don't know what it is. I had it for years. I couldn't. I couldn't.
And what changed it?
I don't know. Is it more you just accept it as you get older? I couldn't look at it. And I saw Rian looking over and I know he got a shock. And I know he couldn't get that moment of reality that this is happening and there's Nana and she's gone and here we are and we're talking and it's natural and there's a bit of laughter and there's Nana. Do you know that way? For him, I had a good chat with him after when I came out on the Thursday evening, on the Wednesday evening. I said to him in the corridor, I said to him in the hallway, I said, look, how are you feeling? He said, a bit strange, isn't it? Mm. I said, did you get a bit of a shock? He said, yeah. Even though he knew she was gone.
Yeah.
I said, I was the same. I couldn't look over. And he said, no, I couldn't look over. And I saw his eyes just darting for split seconds.
Which I told you about the time we went in to look at my mother and we thought we got the wrong body out of the hospital. Whoever put her makeup on must have done Marty Morrissey's for the Sunday game because she didn't look like herself at all. I told you that story. When the three of us went in to have a... when the family goes in to have a look in the removal home before the people come in, we walked in and said, is that her at all? It's Marty Morrissey after passing away. What the fuck?
Because she looked completely
different. The three of us, myself, my father, and my sister went up and we were looking into the coffin. And we were all looking at it. And then one of us said...
it was just you that said it.
Is that her? It doesn't look like her at all. So that can happen because if the people doing the woman's makeup don't know how she usually has her makeup...
That's true, yeah.
They can get it a bit wrong.
Get excited.
Was there prayers then in the room?
Yes.
The rosary?
Yeah. There was a lot of rosaries on the Monday night and the Tuesday night. And Nana was hanging on and hanging on and hanging on and... There was vigils. The neighbours would come in and do 3 o'clock in the morning till 5 and Dipner would get some sleep and they stayed with her and stayed with her and stayed with her until she finally decided that was it. And then it was just automatic pilot then, as everyone gets into automatic pilot. But the power of neighbours and the power of people and the power of friends and family and in a country area like Barefield, It was very powerful.
And what was it like then when all the relations came over from America? What was it like when they were leaving? When they were going back to Medicaid?
After it.
Yeah, yeah.
Very hungover. A lot of dropping off to Shannon Airport. There was a ferrying of Shannon Airport,
What time is your flight? I'm on the 11:05.
And there was an awful lot of bags. They love going to Dunn Stores. They love going to Dunstore, the Boston Yanks.
You can take the people out of Clare, but you can't take Clare out of the people.
They love going to Dunstores.
Really?
Because they
not
can
pennies.
No, Dunns. They love, I gotta get a Dunns. Because they fucking love Dunstores. Because they can buy little flat caps and little Guinness tea towels. And tea towels.
And
do you know those lovely
fleeces for
12-year-olds? That's for Kyle, and that's for Cole, that's for Paul, that's for Sheila, that's for Colleen. Get this for Aaron. I got this for John. I got this for Neil. I got this for Barry. We got this for Uncle Juan.
Yeah.
You know, but it's good
to get a bit of shopping in around a funeral, isn't it?
Yeah. In between.
It's done stores.
So the trip wasn't totally wasted.
And there was a lot of Galway jerseys being bought.
Ah, lovely. There you go.
There was a lot of Galway jerseys being bought for the Boston crowd.
Why not Clare jerseys?
Because Nana was Abbey Dunairy. She was a Loughrea woman. The far side of Abbey Dunairy, from Abbey Dunairy. And there was a lot of people there. But there was over 1,000 signatures on the Thursday evening at the book. I shook hands. There were unbelievable people coming in from Clare and Galway and farmers. And after a while I was saying, we were all standing there. It was the first time I had to stand there at the altar and do the whole thank you, sorry for your troubles, thank you. And for a couple of hours we did it. After a while I just said thanks for coming. Oh, I know who you are. Thanks for coming. What's your name? Thanks for coming. One woman came up on one stage about 2 hours into it. And at this stage, we were all looking for water. The girls had to take off their shoes. They were like just standing there for hours in the high heels. Yeah. One woman came up at one stage and I said, did you hear what you just said? One woman came up, she went, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And I just said, Jesus, thank us. She said, thank you. And I said, well,
she got flustered, the poor woman.
Because after a while, I said, Gormila Margaret, thanks for coming. So it was an amazing show of
now, that side of your tribe is buried deep into the Kilfenora Cayley band. Yes. So were there tin whistles and accordions?
The full Kilfenora played the mass. Wow. It was in Barefield Church, and there was a rendition of Little Bird. And
give us a blast of it there, don't know.
I don't know. The Little Bird's one of their most famous tunes. It's a slow air. And then they played Galway Bay as we took the coffin out. And it was magnificent. And then I was standing there, and it was like we lifted the coffin in, myself and the other sons in law, and Sean, her only son. And because Nana's husband died aged 51.
Yeah.
Sean Griffin Sr. Wow. Died when Dipna was, my wife was 16 or 17, died suddenly.
Wow.
So to see the headstone with 1991 written on it.
Wow.
Mad.
So wow. That's the first, so you didn't really know him?
No, I never met her father. And then the Kilfenora played at the graveside, and it was magnificent. And then the Undertakers from Croisín, mighty men. I love the Undertakers. Garoge and the father Joe. They would, every evening when there was bits and pieces done, when the coffin was brought in, and the coffin table, they'd have their big, and I mean a tumbler of whiskey. And I mean a tumbler, a plate of sandwiches and a fine tumbler of whiskey. And on the Wednesday evening, when we were down there, Sean Griffin said to me, Hector, will you do us a favour? He said, will you gather up a bottle of whiskey there and get a few sandwiches off that plate? We're going down to the gravediggers.
Oh, yes.
We went down to the gravediggers, and there was about 10 men standing in the evening sunshine, and there they were at the grave, and the job they were doing, the sweat was hopping off them.
Mm.
We brought down the Jemison. They all had a nip of whiskey, a couple of sandwiches, and at one stage they all leaned on their spades and they were talking and talking about graves.
Pure country.
Pure countryside. Then they all went for a few pints that night. But when they finished the grave, I'd never seen it before, they crisscrosses the spades all over the grave like a roof. And that you weren't allowed to touch it until they came again. But it was beautiful.
A big, massive event.
It was a massive event.
The passing of a matriarch.
The passing of a lovely woman who, as I say, always treated me well. And mother-in-laws get a bad old rap, don't they? Oh, the mother-in-law's coming, oh, the mother-in-law's coming. I can only say good things about my mother-in-law. She welcomed.
Is your mother-in-law still in it, Clarice Lebouet?
Yeah, no comments. Yes. I don't take much to do with mother-in-laws.
She's up the road, isn't she? She's in Ulster.
Yes, yes, yes. So I don't have to visit very often. I understand what you mean about mother-in-laws, Hector.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you like your mother-in-law?
I don't get to see her that much. A fine woman. Fine Dublin woman. Yeah. Like the salt of the earth.
I'm sure all that dub. Generation of women are the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No, she was... Some of them, you know, can be hit and miss. Some of them can be, don't get on with each other. Some of them people can't stand some of the mother-in-laws. I can just say she was brilliant. And she accepted me, who I was. Coming in off the Aran Islands with a wild head of hair and a pair of dungarees and a Stone Roses t-shirt. She never questioned anything about my musical taste.
Never.
Happy Mondays.
She just didn't listen to it.
She just loved, she just accepted me. And she was a right good woman. And may she sail away. Trina was there meeting her. I know well Trina met her, and she said, come in here now, because she was a big woman of the scriptures as well, Tommy.
Oh, right.
Nana Evelyn was a big scripture woman. And
nothing like a bit of Leviticus before you go to bed.
Trina and Evelyn, the great nanas, are away now on a bus to Glendalough.
Yeah.
Or they're away to Alicante on the eternal trip to Alicante.
My mother's in the back of the bus drinking vodka.
Tommy.
with heavy makeup on and her hair dyed.
Nana Evelyn and Nana Tina going, is that Marty Morrissey in the back of the van?
One of the evenings we went.
I drive in the bus.
You'd love this for 3 pints, please. One of the evenings then I slipped away with Barry from Boston and Timmy, the brother-in-law who plays concertina in the Kilfenora. And I brought Rian and Shane for a pint as well. We slipped away to Clark's in Croisín. There's a shop in the main street of Croisín and a petrol station. But in behind it looks like a bungalow. But it's a pub. And we walked in.
That's Eddie Lenihan country, isn't it?
Yes.
Croisín.
There was nobody there.
So is the shop and the pub part of the one?
It's the shop. It looks like a normal shop and petrol station, but then you walk up a side little bit and there's just like an extension at the back. No signs, no nothing. It looks like a bungalow that's half finished. And we walked in and there was nobody in the bar. The front door was open and your man just said, and if you want to sit there in absolute peace, with nobody talking to you, you can.
Tell me, were the Yanks talking much about the state of their country? America's fucked.
Yeah, yeah. No, can I tell you something about Americans? They don't think their country's fucked. So they don't, they get annoyed with you
if
you tell them their country's fucked. They don't like, they are proud Americans who think there's absolutely nothing wrong with their country.
Yeah, Barry now would be a very staunch Trump supporter. Colleen and Neil wouldn't do too much of that, but I think the Boston's coming over. They didn't want to be talking about Trump. They didn't want to be talking about Biden. They're a really strong connection.
Or guns or OxyContin or anything?
No. Painkiller? No. They didn't. They just wanted Dunn's doors and drink and sandwiches. I haven't said that. They were all sandwiched out by the end of it.
Yeah, and teed out.
Oh, teed out. Oh, well, I swear to God, the amount of tea. It was a fucking Guinness brewery of tea at the kitchen. But no, the Yanks, they don't discuss it like we be going. So what's the story over there? How's things?
They think everything's perfect.
Yeah. But on Dipna's side now, on all that Boston, Galway, Clare side, there would be some staunch Donald Trump supporters.
Really? It's very strong Democrat area, Boston.
Yeah, there's a few of them there. But it was lovely to hear the accent. And then Rian, who's into his NFL, started talking about the Patriots. They're all season ticket holders for the Patriots. And they Patriots and Patriots this and Patriots that.
And was there much talk then of the boys being invited over to Boston for a summer?
Yes, I said Rian. Yeah, they'd been there a couple of years ago, but the opportunity to go working. The lovely thing was for Rian,
giving out pamphlets for Trump.
Make America great again.
Round Dorchester.
Make Clear Galway great again.
They'll be canvassing for him.
We lifted the coffin out, and the sun, I must say, we had three lovely days away. There's nothing worse than standing at a removal and it's raining and it's cold and you're standing outside and the queue is moving slowly. But over the 3 days, there was sunshine. And then I was down standing at the hearse and Joe, the undertaker, said, there was a tiny spit of rain as she came out of the back. And he goes, blessed is the rain that falls on the corpse. And I said, what? And he said, that's what we say by. Blessed is the rain that falls on the corpse and happy is the sunshine that shines on the bride. And I just went, here we go, lads. Up we go. 1, 2, 3. Up she goes. And we got.
And did you use that as an opportunity to get a few squats in?
He was showing his muscles up. You take off the shirt.
No, but there is something in your head that when you're carrying, you do not, you know, you get the up we go, boys, up, and then you grip, and you grip the shoulder of the son-in-law, your brother-in-law, wherever it is. You're getting that grip, and at one stage, I had no weight at all on my shoulder. It was all a lopsided.
Oh my God, the person was bigger than you.
This is really easy. You know when you're carrying a bed down the stairs or something, fuck, I'm all the way in here. What the fuck is happening? I had no weight at all.
Very upright.
So I didn't say it. So when we brought Evelyn to her place of rest in the cemetery, there was a change of guard every 100 metres. So the Boston boys came in and took the coffin. Mm. And we slowly walked. It was beautiful. But Neil Callaghan is about 6'6" and he is absolutely fucking huge. He's a linebacker for the Patriots. He's a massive fucking Boston fucking... you want to buy a new fucking linebacker? Is that going to have another Coors Light, Hector? And he changed over, and there was one of the cousins, I think, who got in underneath it on the other side of him. And you could see that it was like that. Your man was carrying thin air. I said it to Neil after. I says, Neil, you took all the weight. He said, I don't know what was fucking happening, but I'll tell you what, I think it was fucking heavy. Because he had all the weight on his side, because he's a massive man. But there was a lovely moment as well then when my lads came in and Rian came in and took it and brought Nana on her final journey, which is, I think, for grandkids. There's 9 grandkids, 8 boys, and little Emma, 1 girl. So Nana loved our grandkids.
How old was she when she passed?
She was 83 or 84.
Wow.
But, you know, illness had taken hold and she wasn't herself for the last year and a half. But finally she just said, right, that's it. So a great couple of days, sad couple of days, but a tired couple of days, but brilliant. I can say nothing. That was a beautiful ceremony and she's gone now and she's in a lovely place. Lovely place.
What's the feeling like after Nana has passed now, in terms of, because she wasn't well and she was kind of wasn't herself, there was always that air of a kind of, not turbulence, but there was kind of, there was a how would you describe it? There's kind of an unpredictability in the air or something. And now that she's passed, that story has finished.
Yes.
That person's life is done. And do you feel as if you've moved into a kind of a calmer? Now, my experience these things is that there's a calmness that comes after sadness that lasts maybe a couple of weeks or something before the reality of it kicks in. What kind of frame of mind are you in at the minute now that the big ceremony is gone? Everybody, those 3 or 4 days where
it's tiredness after.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of...
You're just exhausted, I think, aren't you? And you're just all your emotion has been poured out already, so you're not going to be still. You can't physically be more emotional.
The tear ducts are empty.
Yeah. I think you're just tired.
Yeah.
And drained. And
did you find, Loretta, with the house, it's been back in the home house, it's been back in the place where all the commotion, all the happening, all the thoroughfare, the front door was open full time.
Yeah.
Candles were lighting, lights were on, and then all of a sudden that house is completely gone.
Yeah,
quiet.
So we didn't have that, you see. We, like, obviously my father's still there, so the house is, you know, we were going back into it. And I remember taking my mother out of the house that morning, taking her to Mass, and then the neighbours just went in and put the sitting room back to normal again after where she had been laid out, you know what I mean? So we came back into a normal kind of room again, but it's weird, isn't it?
It is very weird.
It's definitely stranger, I imagine, when it's the door is closed and the house is gone and, you know, there's nobody in the house.
Yes.
You know, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the end of an era. It's kind of...
And what to do with the what to do with the house then? I remember when my granny passed, I couldn't believe that the sons and daughters sold the house.
Right.
I was going, that's granny's house. Can we not just keep that in the family so we can always... Yeah. Anytime anybody wants to go to that loan, it'll be there.
Yeah.
But no, they were kind of just, sure, who's...
There's nobody in that house.
There's nobody in the house.
There's nobody in that house.
Do you have, now, just I hope it doesn't happen shortly, but are there any specific instructions to be left for your funeral dues?
I haven't done any of that, have you?
We're too young yet for that.
Do you have any instructions for your funeral dues?
No. As in, like, make it as long as possible.
Who do you want to do your makeup?
Oh, yeah.
Don't make a mess of my eyebrows.
Oh, no, I'll have that sorted. My hairdresser will do my hair.
Bit of perfume.
Really?
Somebody will do my makeup. Yeah, jeez, you can't leave that to the undertaker.
Hairdressers don't do corpses.
They do. No, the hairdresser did my mother's hair and she didn't even have any, barely.
I remember some of the nieces were fixing Trina that morning. Really, you know, they would decide what clothes, what everything, her favourite chain, all that sort of stuff. But I remember... in Paddy Fitzsimons's, that they were putting on a little bit of perfume and putting on another little bit of blusher and making sure that making sure she was looking.
Is there a lot to be said for the way they do it? Is there a lot to be said for the way they do it in the Hindu Kush?
What's that?
They were wrapping them in a sheet and fucking set fire to them down by the river.
That's what's going to happen to you,
in
is
the
it?
Ganges.
Yeah. Isn't there a lot to be said for that? Instead of foostering over makeup and hair.
I mean, even the men have to have makeup when they die.
Wrap me in a fucking sheet.
Wrap me up in the oilskin.
Wrap me up in a sheet, and take me down to the cladder, just far side of the swamp, and set me on fucking fire.
Galway County Council won't approve that.
And wouldn't that be nice?
What's your plans?
Kick them off.
They're my plans.
Into the current there where the swans are.
No, but what about the funeral bit?
He'd be washing up in Liscannor, he'd be washing up in Fenor.
And they'll know you because your hands have tattoos on it. Everyone will know it's Tommy Tiernan's hand.
Yeah.
Tell me, have you got, what's the before you get set on fire though? What's
in terms of a ceremony?
You know the house. Will you be laid out in the house or in the funeral home? Or will you be laid out?
I'd like to be taken out to Collins Butchers and chopped up and a little bit of me given to people.
Oh, gross, Tommy, stop. That's rotten.
It's not the flesh, but bits of bone.
I'll go away.
I have a special bit saved for the
Perry.
I'll
make a necklace out of you.
There you go now. You can have my little toe hanging off a chain.
I thought you were going to say something else.
My little toe, that's a beautiful...
Oh, I'll
get
Tommy.
A little bit of his tibia.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll wear it on my chain.
Oh,
on my keyring. That's Tommy's.
Yeah. Can I have a rib or something?
That's Tommy's
tibia. I'll get my sphincter dipped in fucking stainless steel.
Jesus,
make a nice ring for the missus.
Maybe they could put that as your sculpture down Shop Street or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Tommy's sphincter, and people can come and stick their finger. Maybe we could put water. We could turn it into a water fountain.
I get it done as the new doorbell of the house. You can stick your finger in it. And instead of a ringer, go, hey, hey!
Press another button and water comes out to wash your hands.
Hey!
Oh, gross.
So did Nana leave any instructions of?
I don't know any of that.
No.
She loved the Kilfenora. She would have been so proud that the full Kilfenora came, and they were excellent and brilliant.
Was she a musician herself?
No, but by God, she loved it. And with the brothers-in-law and the sisters-in-law and the Kilfenora, it was a huge part of her. She was happiest listening to good traditional music and good Cady music from County Clare, and a proud GA woman. She loved nothing better than Sunday afternoon, the roast beef and a glass of wine and a bit
She wasn't fussy.
She wasn't. and Clare playing or Galway playing. And there was plenty of legendary hurlers that came to the funeral as well. And Seanie McMahon and Ollie Baker and James E. O'Connor and the great Clare stalwarts, who live only a stone's throw from where Evelyn was living in Barefield. Fine parish. And it just shows you that when these small country parishes, still that fucking tradition. I'd say every single person in the parish of Barefield were there.
So can we talk about the after the funeral then?
Yeah. So we went in and we had some food in town, in the old ground. And we had the...
Is town Ennis?
Town is Ennis. In we went. And then that evening, everyone went back to a pub called Considine's in Barefield. And May Considine used to be there, lovely woman. Last time I met her, she was in the wheelchair and she was in serving pints. And all you could see was like something out of Phoenix Nights. Hector, how are you? You could just see the top of her head. Well, you have a pint of stout, is it? And the hand would reach in and she'd be pulling pints and firing them up. A brilliant woman, May Considine. The pub hasn't changed in millennia. And everybody went to Considine's on Friday night. And by the end of it, I was there with the two boys from Boston, Barry and Neil, and they were well on it at this stage. One eye was going the other
way.
What
were you drinking?
I was drinking pints of Coors Light. And there was a great hum of people in the pub. And at one stage, somebody said, will you go over there to that man out there sitting on the bar? I could see out into the bar. There was an old man sitting there. And somebody said to me, he speaks a bit of Irish. So at about 12:30, I said to the two boys, come on out with me here now. And you're going to hear a bit of Gaelic being spoken. Oh my God, really? Are you fucking kidding me? You're going to speak fucking Gaelic? So in we go, and I'm like, y'all tough, honey. And he goes, y'all, Sean. The two boys were absent. They were meowlogs at this stage, but they were like, oh, this is fucking incredible. I don't know what word he's fucking saying. And we broke into English after about 6 or 7 minutes, and great chats with old timers in Considine's. It was the night of a big funeral in the village, and there was a lot of people about.
Lovely.
It was excellent. I can't fault it. I couldn't fault it. I don't think the family could fault it. And isn't that what it's all about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And good funeral. Next time I have a bat and Katie Taylor's boxing, I'll remember Nana Evelyn.
Yeah. Well, she's well remembered. That's the important thing.
Yeah. Did you meet her, Tommy, over the years?
No.
You would have met her at communions and baptisms when you come out to the house.
Out to the house. No, I was. It was always your mother that cornered me. With a couple of shafts of the Old Testament.
Was she hoping you had like a common interest in the Bible?
Steph and Trina.
Yeah.
We had an interest, but we were coming at her from different starting positions.
She couldn't convince
She was coming otherwise. At her from the point of view of a believer. And I was coming at her from the point of view of a Doubting Thomas.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, I'm glad you had... I'm glad that it was a soulful...
Yeah.
Funeral.
Yeah, because you know what?
Big music, big tears, big sadness, big family.
There was
get
a lot of laughter and as well, and there's a peace. There was a peacefulness at the end of it, which is great, because you know, nobody wants to suffer, and nobody wants to be sick.
What's in terms of pain management? How was your mum's passing? Like, was she in? Was it bad pain for her?
Oh no, no, no! She wasn't really in bad pain at all. Sure, I told you she wouldn't take. She was afraid to take the liquid morphine the doctor had prescribed her in case she got hooked on it. Hmm. So she was refusing to take it. We were giving it to her at the end, yeah, and then she didn't have a painful passing at all. You see, some people have horrendously painful.
So there was never a thing of we need to mind mam's pain then?
No, the palliative care were there at the end and the night nurse was there and they did give her injections. You know, they put her on maybe a pump for the last hour or something, but it wasn't, I don't even.
And was that because she was in agony?
It eases the pain, doesn't it?
Just yeah,
eases,
whatever it kind of, I'll tell you pain. What it is, there's a level of discomfort that a person would go through in some cases, like, and it was even at that, and she was on it, it was difficult to experience this gasping for air at the end.
And
you're just like, and some people go very like out like a light, and then
yes,
she unfortunately didn't.
That's as much distress as it is pain, isn't it?
I don't know, it's just it was like, yeah, that was hard watching that.
And were you there for the final? Because were you there for the final moments when your mother took her last breath?
I was, yeah.
And did you feel it was that precise?
It was distressing, I think. I think it was distressing because of the way, and she had been breathing like that throughout the whole night. So she had like a full, nearly 12 hours of this. So it was distressing to see that. But we had a night nurse there and she was like, oh, you all go to bed now. And they didn't expect her to die as quickly as she did. Mm. In the end, she died quickly. I did tell you that she woke up on Stephen's morning and I was sitting there and she goes, oh, please tell me that's not you. You know, she thought that she had already passed away and she'd come back again. But after that, she just went down.
Did you get a call then to wake up and come in? Because it's happening.
Yeah.
Because the breath gets really slower. The pulse is hard to find.
Yeah, but her breath was at the very end. It was last gasps for it.
I told you about the story the fella told to me when his father was dying. And he's up in hospital up in Dublin. And it was the father had a hard passing. Like it was
a painful passing.
Yeah, and they were
distressing.
They were doing it in shifts through the night. And he said he was in with the father and awful sad, you know. And the father's there. Like for fucking hours, like all night long, and it's just the two of them in the room. And there's no talking, there's just this, and the son is there and he has to be on, he's on till 7 in the morning, and then the daughter's going to come in and he's there all through the fucking night. And it's getting more of a gap between breaths. Right, and he was a loved man. And he heard it. He heard the death breath. You know, they say that there's an extra kind of release or something. They call it the death rattle or something?
Yes.
There's an extra release of breath. And he was standing there and he heard it. And the silence afterwards. And then he's looking out the window. And it's not yet dawn, but it's not fully dark. And he's looking at the window. And the thoughts have no words to them. They're just a feeling of sadness. And he says, I'll be honest with you, Tom. I'll be honest with you. He said, I was there looking at the window. And next thing I heard. And he said, the first thought that came into his head was, oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh,
that's priceless. That's quality.
Is there just like, you know, like...
It can be laboured.
I learned
and he loved his dad, but he just went, would you fucking, if you're going, will you go?
That is mad. And then over the weekend, I realised, somebody said to me at one stage on the Saturday when I woke up and I went back into the village for a coffee with a few of them still hanging around. And one somebody said to me, he said, you do know why? I said, oh, I'm bad. And he said, if you hang over, I said, oh, bad.
Oh, had you?
Oh, bad. Oh, fucking bad. With 13 pints of
Coors. I thought men don't get hangovers.
Oh, Jesus. And he said to me, you know where the word hangover came? It was a week of enlightenment. And I said, what? And I was in that stage where I just wanted a toasted ham and cheese sandwich. I wanted a flat white and I wanted to get out of there.
Fresh air.
And he goes, you know where the word hangover came from? I said, no, go on. And this lad's a smart lad.
Was this the American?
No, this is a brother-in-law of mine from Mayo. And he said, a ball man. And he said to me, you know where hangover comes from?
He said it to you three times.
And you're dying.
Yeah, because I'm dying at this stage. And he went, back in the Victorian times in London, when they would drink their socks off for pennies and pennies of gin. And gin was the biggest drink in London in Victoria times. That the drunken sailors would go into a back room and there'd be ropes from one end of the room to the other. And they would just drape themselves over a rope to hang over it till they dried themselves out. And that is where the word...
And is that a cure for it?
The hangover comes from the ropes that was hung for the gin houses of Victorian times, where people would hang over a rope.
But you also told us that Belfast got his name because this book was riding a horse through the river going,
Belfast! Fuck off. Through the water we go, Belfast. True, Bel. True, fast.
Fantasy land.
It's not.
You read that in a children's book.
So
that's a loyalist comfort blanket.
Tom Hardy...
Bail first.
The hangover, full of gin.
So is that an actual story now, or is that made up too?
No, that is where the word hangover comes from.
That.
Victorian times.
How did you get over the hangover? There's three ways.
Darnell's salt and vinegar crisps, toasted ham and cheese sandwiches, a bit of Sky Sports. And I had a bat at 9 o'clock.
Did you guess you toy with the bat?
I had a bat. I'm a bat lion.
That's it, yeah.
A bat is a bad idea. You'd be sweating.
I open the window. If it gets really hot, I have the windows
open. Oh, that sounds like hell.
Where are you sleeping? Serenity Slopes nursing home. Fuck's sake, had a bat.
And I put a half a bottle of Radox into it. And I was rubbing the suds all over me.
I can't move.
Couldn't even see me feet with the suds. I couldn't see me feet,
Hector,
with the suds.
It's a true sign of your fitness to be able to get in and out of the bath.
Oh yeah.
So Tommy only wishes he could get in and out of the bath. Tommy wants a bath with the door on it.
Yeah.
Why don't we
and a seat.
Why don't we, this is something we could do in future years.
Loads of money in the nursing home business. Why don't we open
We open a really fucking cool nursing home? Like a nursing home that has ESPN and Sky Sports and porn and Netflix and everything people need.
You see that
rooms.
In Japan, they bring in the porn to the men and the women in the nursing home.
Do they?
Bring in the young ladies to the men and they get them to bend over and do all sorts of stuff.
Live
porn? Not the men now, they get the women.
Like live? As
yeah,
in
live porn, yeah.
Wow.
That'll shake them up. It's
snooker
an activity.
Snooker tables, pool tables, espresso machines, Nespresso machines.
What would you do with them as their activity? You know, like they do drawing and colouring. And
just curries, chicken curries all the time.
No, colouring, I said. They do activities.
Yeah, but you want real cool activities. Like
yeah, what?
Like a river out the back, we go fishing.
Orienteering.
No, but like really cool things.
Bringing quad a busload of fucking
quad bikes.
Sick people to the fucking Dua Valley. Now, you have to make your own way back to Ballina.
No, but imagine there was a river you could fish.
And you're marked Survivor. That'd be a great fucking twist to Survivor, wouldn't it?
The naked Survivor.
Naked and afraid. Just naked. These fucking pensioners on the side of a hill in Mayo. It's hard to tell the difference between the women and the sheep.
Where are we now, Michael?
That would be a great T.G. Carr version. Naked, afraid and old.
Naked, afraid and old in Mayo.
Yeah,
it's loads of wilderness.
But that was a big... And it's everybody back to their settled lives.
Everybody
now
has returned to their homesteads and everyone is sleeping. And there's a lot of phone calls. And there's a lot of... But there was a great show of people. And from all over, from the Midlands and from Galway and from Clare and from Boston. And they're all gone away back to where they're from. Um, there was a little bit of Irish spoken as well of people coming up. There was a nice bit of Irish. There was maybe a smattering every 20 or 30 people that we got. But there was a lovely couple. And I said to Timmy, who's that lady? Oh, that lady's married to a man from Galway. Because three or four times during the thousands of handshakes for thanks for coming, sorry for your trouble, all this, ni wallum the hribloids. I don't like your trouble. Ni mailum do hriblóid. It's a beautiful Connemara way of saying sorry for your trouble. Ni mailum do hriblóid. Agus fi siag a hall in eachlúistal e gortlam.
And was there anybody who was inappropriate at the funeral in the sense, was there anybody who was delighted to see
somebody
you in the flesh?
Somebody came up by one and said, hey, the big arms were open. Hello, hello, you don't know who I am. This is you. And there was a few people like that, but it was funny watching Dipna and Anne and Claire, the three daughters, all the amount of good friends that they hadn't seen from school.
Ah, yeah.
Evelyn used to mind many's a local child and neighbours' children for school. And it was mad to see that the children that I used to remember back in the 90s, who were only 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 and 11 and 12, who were staying in Evelyn's after school for dinner and then be collected by 6 as a baby minder, that those young men were all in their 30s and they were bawling crying. And to see a man that I hadn't seen in years, who used to be 8 years of age, and now he's 33 years of age, he's working in Shannon in a tech company or doing something like that or whatever, and he bawling crying for the love he had for Nana Evelyn, was that's powerful stuff.
It's always
powerful stuff.
It's the fellas that you say at my mum's funeral now, it was the fellas I hadn't seen since I was in fucking second year. That got me.
Yes.
It's funny.
Yes.
I'm there looking at my mother's corpse and, you know, there's no tears. It's just like, there she is. And then I fucking see Jerry Boyle, who I haven't seen since 1982. And then I burst into tears. I don't know how the fuck that works, but that's what was happening. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's funny the way that it
triggers.
It triggers something. For me, it was once I heard music in the church. Once I heard some music, I just welled up. And then it was funny because the priest came down at the end of the funeral and he said, now, get ready again. There's an awful lot of people that want to shake hands. So for the next 15 or 20 minutes, again, people come up and shook hands. And there was music being played, Galway Bay and everything, and there was tears streaming down my face. And people were coming up going, sorry for your troubles. And I'm bawling, going, thanks for coming. And I'm looking over the two brothers-in-law, they're not crying. And then what you do is you hyperventilate. Just for a second or two, cop yourself on. And then get a glass of water. And then we're back in. Thanks for coming.
And is there a song you'd like played before we take the coffin down the main street in Clare Galway? We'll stop at Centra and we'll stop at Super Value.
And Roots for a coffee.
And Roots for a flat white.
Yeah.
I told you that about Fozzie Concannon's father.
No.
That when he left the church, a magnificent and a staunch Hammer supporter, a Clare Galway man who lived in London all his life and a Hammer supporter all his life, lived right beside the stadium in Old Upton Park. And when they brought him out of the church in the Summerfield, there was an old brigade of Bweed, Bweedada, Chasik, Rosh. And the tricolour was raised.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And then as they walked down, the cortege went through Clare Galway. They had his table and two chairs and two full pints of Guinness and his pack of cards and an ashtray left out on the side of the road beside
Lovely.
The cortege. Oh. Isn't that a beautiful
yes.
little tribute to Seamus Concannon, a 6 foot man JCB driver from Clare Galway who went to London to find his future. And he did. And
what would they leave
and
out
a proud say? Republican, and I will say that.
What
the
would they leave
term.
Out for you?
Huh? There'll be the fucking red arrows flying over me, and fucking there'll be a trail of a tricolour off the back of it.
And signed DVDs of all your television shows to give away to people.
A table
Only Fools
by
Arses on
sell
sale.
Them for
Going
a fiver.
Cheap, $6.99.
Cash only.
My young lads will be running the merchandise with Keep Our Late and Mass More and all this stuff. Catch our last and a Keep Our Late t shirt here, lads.
Special offer outside the graveyard.
Oh, we got the collector's items on the podcast. Tommy Beovers.
Do you have a song that you'd like?
No, I'd like a lot of Irish songs, Tommy. I'd love a load of Irish songs.
Like Damien Dempsey and Aslan? Or?
But I'd like a Bob Marley tune as well. Love fucking music. Pump it up. You know, there's so much music.
It's hard to pick your music, yeah. Just yet.
I mean, How can you, and it, for a woman who loved her tradition...
And when will it be okay for Dibna to remarry? Like, is that...
Within 6 to 9
like, how long will you give her? How long will you give her? Because my missus has told me that's not, it's not happening. It's not fucking happening.
Ah.
My missus said to me, if I'm at the far side, and if you lay as much as a soft hand
on
the bosom of some widow woman, I will come back.
The widow McInerney. Oh, she's down around Tommy's. I saw them go for coffee in Barna. The widow McInerney's around. And she's driving the Beamer.
She's
driving his car. She's driving the Beamer. I saw her in an IKEA. The window back in Ernie and Tiernan in Saltill.
Going to Coco for the fucking lattice.
I saw them at the inn in Brown Thomas. The window McInerney. Oh, she has them now. They were fucking in the makeup department. And she has them now. And the fucking size of the bags leaving Brown Thomas.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Classic.
She didn't buy that in her own credit card.
No. What happens on the other... The shoe goes on the other foot. Because you're most likely to go first anyway, so...
But I'm after telling you, I come from a long line of...
I know, but still,
a long line of long livers.
Yeah, but you're how... You're
half dead as it is.
You're getting very close to them, like.
Yeah, yeah.
So you wouldn't mind if... Not Yvonne got married again, did you?
I'd have a lad going. You'd be out and be tricolour. Not balaclavas. I wouldn't have balaclavas and white shorts. But let's just say there would be...
Balaclavas and white shorts.
What I'm saying is
isn't that
like the compa
so it's like fucking Ukrainian dance troupe, balaclavas and white shorts.
The
we dance for peace and victory.
Hey ho, hurry ho, holy, holy, holy ho. There he goes, hoddy, hoddy, ho.
White shorts and balaclavas. Places.
All the young lads from the under-19s. White shorts and balaclavas. No, but like I'd have imagine a lone trumpeter, right? A lone trumpeter. And then he breaks into he plays the top
match of the day. Jesus, you won't be able to breathe for a week after that.
On a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.